You know, we make much of the fact that the Lord goes before us. That verse that we read in Isaiah 52, verse 12, it says, "For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you." We sing the song, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me." And he leads us. And we make much of the fact that not only he leads us, but we make much of the fact that he is with us always. Matthew chapter 23, verse 20, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." I was studying the 23rd Psalm a couple of days ago, and I got to thinking about that psalm from this perspective. And if you think about the 23rd Psalm, you see that God has us covered from every direction. It says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pasture," so he's under us. "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness," so he's in the front of us. "He anointeth my head with oil," so he's over us. And then it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So he's behind us. So he's in front of us, he's behind us, he's underneath us, he's over us. He's got us covered from every direction, and he never leaves us. You've heard the story about the lady that came to her pastor and said, "Pastor, there's two guys following me every place I go. I'm really worried. I don't know them, and I just don't know who they are. I wonder if you could check it out for me." And the pastor said, "I'd be happy to." And he did some checking, and he came back a couple of days later. He says, "Ma'am, I got it all figured out. Those two guys that are following you are goodness and mercy, and they're going to follow you." There wasn't really anybody following them, but there were goodness and mercy was following her and would follow her all the days of her life. So tonight, I want to preach on the subject, our rear guard. Our rear guard. And I want to take you back, and I want to tell you a story that's very familiar to most of you about the Israelites as they made their way out of Egypt to the promised land. And I want to look at what happened at the Red Sea. By the way, that journey from the land of Egypt to the promised land paints a picture of our salvation, of our sanctification, and our glorification. When the Jews were in Egypt and slaves in Egypt, it paints a picture of us before we got saved. I mean, they were slaves of Egypt. And before we got saved, we were slaves of sin. We have no freedom. We are bound by sin, just like they were bound by the chains that the Egyptians put on them. They came to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea represents salvation. There's no accident that the Red Sea was named the Red Sea. I mean, when they passed through that sea, it paints a picture of us passing through the crimson blood of Jesus Christ and being saved. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so when they crossed the Red Sea, it painted a picture of them being saved. And then they came into the wilderness. And the wilderness represents our life as Christians. It represents our growth as Christians. Shaylin sang about it tonight. He's changing her a little bit at a time, little by little. And that's what happens. We get saved all at once. And it's an instantaneous process, but our Christian growth happens a little bit at a time. And as Brother George testifies, sometimes we go backwards. Sometimes, but the wilderness is that place where God is trying to teach us to trust him, trying to teach us that we can depend on him. And just like he put the Israelites through some trials and tribulations and times of testing in the wilderness, so God in our Christian life puts us through some times of trials and testing with the same purpose, so that we would learn to trust him more. And one of these days, we're going to come to the Jordan River. And that Jordan River represents the time we leave this body, and we leave, when we left Egypt, we left the penalty of sin. When we leave the wilderness, we're going to leave the presence, or the in the wilderness, we lose the power that sin has over us. And when we cross the Jordan River, we're going to leave the presence of sin. and will come into heaven. So that journey represents our Christian life. Now, I want to take you back to the Red Sea. You remember the plagues that God sent on Egypt. The last one was the death of the firstborn. We call it the Passover. Because God told Moses, go get a lamb, kill it, and on the 14th day of the month, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And the death angel is going to pass through Egypt tonight, and every home that has blood on the doorpost, I'll pass over. But every home where there's no blood, the death angel is going to go in and kill the firstborn. That was the 10th plague that God sent on Egypt. And when the firstborn in Egypt died, Pharaoh and all the Egyptians said to Moses, get out of here. Take your people and go. And so the Israelites left, and God led them. He led them by a pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. A lot of people think it was the same kind of cloud that Elijah saw after he had the contest on Mount Carmel, the size of a fist, the Bible says. I think it was a great big cloud. Because I not only think that it guided them, that it provided them shade in the desert as they made their way through the wilderness. I think the pillar of fire was big enough to keep them warm if they traveled at night. The Bible says when the pillar of cloud moved, they moved. When the pillar of fire moved, they moved. When they stood still, they stood still. And so God led them out of Egypt, and he brought them to the Red Sea. The Red Sea in front of them. A mountain on either side of them. And by this time, Pharaoh has changed his mind. He says, what have we done in letting all our slaves go? And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, and let me just read it to you. Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captain over every one of them. Let me tell you tonight, before you got saved, there was a battle going on for your soul. When you figuratively came to the Red Sea, Satan knew what was about to happen. And he drug up all the forces of hell and he says, we're not going to let this happen. We're going to stop it before it happens. And you may not have realized it, but before you got saved, there was a battle going on for your soul, and Satan tried to stop you from getting saved. But let me tell you what happened. Not only in your soul, if you're saved tonight, but let me tell you what happened to the Israelites as the Red Sea was on in front of them, as there was a mountain on either side of them, and as Pharaoh's army and 600 chariots were behind them. They got worried. They went to Moses, and they said, because there were no graves in Israel, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it says in Exodus chapter 14, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So this cloud that was leading them forward, again, they didn't move unless the cloud moved. When they came to the Red Sea, a mountain on either side, Pharaoh's army behind them, they said, why'd you bring us here, Moses? Did you bring us here to die? Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? Did you have to bring us out here to die? And so, and Moses said, just a minute. And God took that cloud, and he moved it from the place that it normally was in front of them, and he put it behind them. He put it behind them. And by the way, just so you know, as we make our way through the wilderness, God also leads us. And he never leads us backwards. Hey? He never leads us backwards. God has no desire, no plan in our life for us to back up. He wants us to keep going forward. We sang that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And so he never leads us backwards. But when Pharaoh's army was about to get the Israelites, God took that cloud that was usually in front of them, that was that thing that led them, and he moved that cloud behind them. And the Bible says it continued to be a source of light to the Israelites, but it was a source of darkness. It was a source of darkness to the Egyptians. Now, by the way, that's what God did when we came to that moment in our life where we realized that we were a sinner and that we needed a Savior. Satan knew what we were about to do. Satan knew that the Holy Spirit was convicting us. Satan knew that if he didn't act quickly, he was going to lose us for all eternity. And so he dredged up all the demons from hell, and he came after us, and he said, "We got to stop them, because if we don't stop them, we're going to lose them forever." And you know what God did? He went behind us, and he said, "Stay away from them. They're about to get born into my family. Satan, you're about to lose them forever." That's what he did to the Israelites. He moved that cloud behind him. It became darkness to the Egyptians. It continued to be light. And he said to Moses, "Tell the people to go forward." Moses said, "Lord, you don't understand. Don't you see? There's a sea in front of us." God said, "Doesn't make any difference. I'm going to make a pathway through it." The Bible says a strong wind blew, and there was and created a dry path through the Red Sea, and there was a wall of water. I've told you this before. I've heard people debate this. Oh, the Red Sea at that time wasn't very deep. Wasn't much of a miracle for God to make a way through the Red Sea if the water was only a couple inches deep. Well, it sure was a miracle that he drowned 600 Egyptians in that 2 inches of water. I don't care how you think about it. I think there was a wall of water. I think God divided it. But if you want to believe there was only 2 inches, then God worked the miracle in drowning all those Egyptians in 2 inches of water. So that cloud that moved behind them became a rear guard to the Israelites. We have a rear guard tonight. And our rear guard stands between us and some things that are coming after us as we make our way through this wilderness that we call life on our way to heaven. That rear guard, number one, and I got 3 points tonight, Brother Terrell. 3 points. He was teasing me this morning, Brother Bob, about preachers always having 3 points. That rear guard protects us from three things. Number one, that rear guard protects us from us and our past sins. It protects us from us and our past sins. You know, just because we got saved doesn't mean that we won't be tempted by those sins that we took part in before we got saved. They'll come after us. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 21, the Bible says, "Evil pursueth sinners." You see, there's two kinds of sinners. There's lost sinners, and there's saved sinners. And when that verse says that evil pursueth sinners, it means that evil pursues all of us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," that what that verse implies is that we can be overtaken in a fault, that our past sins can catch up to us. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever little Egyptian is chasing you, and I use that term because, again, Egypt represents that place where we were before we got saved, when we took part in some things of the world, when we were a sinner. And again, it may not be, and you know, we put sins in categories, big sins, little sins. We think if somebody is a drunkard or if they're an adulterer, that's big sins. But if we just tell little white lies, well, that's a little sin. I want to tell you, in God's sight, it doesn't make any difference. Sin, sin. They're all just as wicked in God's sight. That's why he says if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. So whatever those little Egyptians that are coming after you, those sins that marked your life before they got saved, they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you and try to get their clutches around you again and slow down, hinder, detour, whatever you want to call it, your journey toward heaven, your journey becoming more like Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, our rear guard stands between us and our past sins. And if we claim the power that our rear guard has, there's no way that our past sins can get us. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's why Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. And so as I make my way in life, as I make my way in the wilderness that we call life, as I make my way to becoming more like Jesus Christ, as I make my way to that day when one day I will go into heaven, my rear guard protects me from those sins of my past. Number two, my rear guard protects me from my guilt. My guilt. You know, many people get saved. They know their sins are paid for. They know their sins are washed away. But they never get over it. They keep thinking about what happened in the past. I want to remind you tonight that God, when he saved you, wiped your record clean. He wiped it clean. I mean, if I could go to heaven tonight and I could talk to God and I could go to God and I say, God, I want to know all the sins that Jameson committed. Didn't know I was going to pick on you, did you? I want to know every sin that this guy has committed. God says, just a minute. Let me look in the book. He gets down to the wise. Jameson. No sins. I said, no, you must have the wrong guy. I know this guy. He is a sinner. I mean, he's a bad sinner. A really bad sinner. You know I'm kidding, don't you? He's a really bad sinner. You must have the wrong guy. Look again. God said, nope. I see his name. It's right there. There's nothing on the page. Nothing. You ever do anything wrong? Oh, yeah, I know. So have I. You know what? If you went and looked at my record, it would look the very same. If you went and looked at Brother Don's record, it would look the very same. If you went and looked at Kenny's record, it would look the very same. Because when we got saved, God wiped our record clean, and you know what happens after we get saved? He will not impute sin to our record. It's all under the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, why are you guilty about your sins? If we could go to our record in heaven tonight, there would be nothing on our page except the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because not only does he wipe our record clean, he puts the righteousness of our Savior on our record. I read a story about a preacher that was on an airplane flying to Australia from California. And they got somewhere over the Pacific Ocean, and the pilot came on the intercom and says, ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that we're passing over a point in a part of the Pacific Ocean that geologists and oceanographers that study the oceans, they say this is the deepest part of any ocean on the face of the earth. And the story goes that preacher took off his seatbelt. He got up, and Ruth, he became Pentecostal. He was a Baptist preacher, but you know, some of us have some Pentecostal blood in us. This Baptist preacher became Pentecostal. He started running up and down the aisles, and he says, glory to God, amen, praise the Lord. And Somebody stopped and said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "Look out the window. That's where my sins are. God says he puts them in the deepest part of the sea. And if you could look through all that water to the deepest part of the sea, that's where he put my sins." And he says, "I get excited about that." So keep moving forward. Forget about the past. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Our rear guard protects us from past sins. Our rear guard protects us from past guilt. And number three, and finally, our rear guard protects us from our past position. You know what? We cross the Red Sea, we get saved. God expects us to keep moving forward. And again, it's a little bit at a time. I mean, you don't get saved and all of a sudden become a mature Christian. You don't get saved and all of a sudden become exactly like Jesus Christ. It's a process. It happens a little bit at a time. God has to send us through different things in our life. And again, he's got it all planned out for each of us as individuals. He's got things in our life that he knows we need to go through to make us more like our Savior. And there's going to be times in our life like Brother George talked about tonight. And he's not the only one that's ever done anything like that. We all have. We've all had times in our life, instead of going forward and making our way toward becoming like Christ, that we back up, or we move sideways, or we stand still for a while, or we back up. And there have been some people that have really backslidden in their Christian life. And they get out of church. And by the way, when you get backslidden, people want to drop out of church. The thing you need to do when you get backslidden is stay in church. You do. But there have been people that have backslidden and backslidden so much so that their loved ones say, "Geez, I wonder if they ever got saved. I wonder if they really, really ever got saved," because they become so backslidden that you look at their life and you just wonder if they've really gotten saved. I want to tell you something. You can back up in your Christian life, but there comes a point where your rear guard is behind you and he says, "That's it. You can't go any further. You can't go any further. Because if you go any further, you're going to be back in the Red Sea. And you can't go back in the Red Sea. You can't. You can't. I'm going to stand behind you." And by the way, this is what it means to have eternal life. This is what it means to have everlasting life. It means our rear guard says, "You can't go back to that position that you were in before you got saved." Because if we could lose it, God's a liar. Huh? Say, "Preacher, you ought not to say that." I'm going to say it. If we could lose it, if there's something I can do to lose my salvation, my God is a liar. Because he said when I got saved, I had everlasting life. I had eternal life. And if it was up to me to keep it everlasting and keep it eternal, I would have been lost the day after I was saved. And I'd be lost tonight. And I'd be on my way to hell tonight. But I want to tell you, there's nothing that I have to do to keep eternal, eternal. There's nothing I have to do to keep everlasting, everlasting. That's God's job. And he says, when I save you, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, it's an everlasting, eternal deal. Now, I know that people that get on us, once saved, always saved Baptists, and say, "Well, that gives you a license to sin." No, it doesn't. Paul said, "God forbid. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. Forbid. God forbid. I've told you many, many times, when I was a kid, I obeyed my dad because I was afraid he was going to spank me, whoop me. tan me. But when I got older, I obeyed my dad because I wanted to please him. Because I wanted to please him. When we first get saved, we may obey God because we're afraid that he's going to send lightning from heaven and strike us dead if we mess up. But we reach a point in our Christian life when we come to know our God better and better where we say, I'm not serving God because I'm afraid of him. I'm serving God because I love him. And one day I want to walk into his presence and I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. He leads me. Praise God for that. He's above me. Praise God for that. He's below me. Praise God for that. But he's also my rear guard. My rear guard. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray tonight that as we're making our way through the wilderness, that we would realize that you're not only in front of us, but you're behind us. And the past sins and the past guilt, you protect us from, if we'll let you. And Father, you keep us from that past position. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's never received Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight that they would see that they're a sinner, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to you but through him. And I pray tonight that if they don't know him, tonight they would come. Let's take the Bible and from the Bible show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Most of us, not all of us tonight, are Christians. So Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to know what we have in our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.